We see this in Isaiah 61, which the Lord read in the synagogue soon after his baptism. When he read that passage, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek, and he hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he sat down, and he said, "This has been fulfilled this day." And the Lord was showing that this was already foretold of himself in the Old Testament, that he would be the anointed to preach, along with the other things that are listed here.
We see the faithfulness in God, too, in foretelling John the Baptist, whom you see the dove descending upon, giving him that understanding that this was the man, so that John could say, in his heart, "I must decrease. He must increase." But even in a matter like that, God was careful to make that known.
I think this the Lord Jesus being special as compared to the prophets in the aspect of this was the perfect man, the sinless man, and God's man. But if you would, the qualifier, this is the perfect Lamb of God and God's man.
Just we have to also understand that when God spoke, of course, the Lord Jesus was anointed in every aspect of his life. Even when we go to Proverbs chapter 8, he was anointed in relationship to creation. But when we come to Hebrews 1, which you desire, Brother Mark, to have as the foundation, he spoke not only in that aspect of a blessed, perfect man. He spoke in Son. He spoke, because we don't want to lose sight, that when the Spirit of God is highlighting who is this blessed prophet, and who is, because the epistle to the Hebrews is all about the theme of better things. So instead of thinking, or he wanted to guard about one thing, that yes, we can say this blessed prophet that all marvel at his words is better than all the prophets, right? Because it's a better thing. Nevertheless, he wanted to guard that he is none other but God himself as the eternal Son. And this is very important. Why is it that God can, or the Lord Jesus as a blessed man, can have not only a partial thought of God's mind, but he can have the fullness of his mind because of who he is? So this is why he expressed freely what was in the heart of God toward himself and toward the blessing of mankind, because this blessed one is none other but the Son. And that's why when God spoke, he spoke in Son, someone that can present and express his thoughts 100% without any deviation.
And that is what we have in the Old Testament with the angel of the Lord. Angel of the Lord means messenger of the Lord. But we see that he is also the Lord himself. So he can be the perfect messenger because he is the Lord himself.
So to follow the process, what we've heard so far is that a prophet knows or reveals the mind of God. He foretells, and it might be an element of foretelling what might be to come. And it's very interesting, as you trace the history of the prophetic office, we find that there were severe judgments associated with someone who presumed in that office and did not represent the mind of God, did not speak for God. And so the thing that's also very amazing is that God does speak. I think we can just pause there for a moment and just take that in, is that here we have the God of the universe who spoke the worlds into being through the word of God and Christ being right there in the creation, he is not silent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very important for us, particularly in the times that we're living, is to understand that God is not silent and he has spoken.
Mm-hmm.
He has been speaking from the beginning of the creation.
Yeah.
The heavens declare and speak about what God wants us to speak. But then he sends individuals, specific individuals, to let you know about what God's mind is for this particular instance in this particular time. So in the case of Abraham, and it's an interesting story to read that when God says, "This is my prophet," he tells Abimelech, don't touch it, because he is a prophet. He speaks for me. He represents my interest here. So when we come to, this is what God is doing. He is speaking. And he's telling man things that he wants men to know. The heavens declare his glory. But then he calls out a covenant people for himself in the Old Testament. And then he sends prophets to them to wake them up, to charge them with regards to what their obligation and their responsibility is as being in a covenant relationship. And we know of their failure. And so now, when God has been speaking for all of these years and all of these times, he says, I'm now going to send not only a messenger, but the one who is the content of the message itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something I think if we can grasp a little bit of that, that is going to be very helpful to us. Not only is Christ the great prophet, the anointed prophet, but he himself is the content of the message. He is what is prophetically being declared. And then, and I love, we can move on to what we had in Luke, as we look at Christ fulfilling that prophecy of what he does proclaim, what he does preach, what is he telling us that God wants us to know concerning himself, concerning history, concerning the future.
Was it your thought then to move on those points A, B, and C?
Sure.
That would be great.
I think the passage in Deuteronomy is very important to consider. In Deuteronomy chapter 18 that you have here, because this is exactly what the Lord said of himself in John 14. The words that I speak not of myself, but they are the words of God the Father speaking through the Lord Jesus. And we read in Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 18, but I was thinking of what it says specifically in verse 18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And this is the Lord's states in John chapter 14, as I mentioned.